Grateful for everyone's attendance this morning, the manner in which we've been led in our worship and engaged in our worship together. I want to encourage you to have your Bible open to Judges chapter 2. We're going to start looking at this passage and look at a few more as we study and we consider the generation who did not know the Lord or His mighty works and how exactly that came about. Judges chapter 2, let's read verses 7 through 15. Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 15. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres, in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gaash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. How did this happen? And how did it happen so quickly? Joshua and his generation, they are the ones who lived through the plagues. They were there in Egypt whenever Moses came back, and God began one by one to send the plagues, which showed that he was greater than the gods of Egypt. Joshua and his generation were the ones that put the blood of the goat, the Passover lamb, over the mantle of their house and listen to the cry and the anguish through all Egypt as the firstborn of every house died. They're that generation that walked through the Red Sea on dry ground, only to reach the other side and turn around and see the army of their enemy destroyed by their God. They are the very ones who stood in front of Mount Sinai and heard the voice of God thunder down and give them the Ten Commandments, and saw the smoke and felt the earthquake and thought that they were going to die from God's power. They're the ones who God took care of for 40 years in the wilderness, bringing water out of rocks and food out of the sky, and their clothes never wore out. And their feet never became swollen. That same generation walked on dry ground across the Jordan River and entered into the land of promise. And God went before them and drove out all the inhabitants and divided that land, allowed them to divide and to inhabit that land that God had promised their father Abraham so many years before. How is it possible that the very next generation didn't know the Lord and didn't know what He had done for Israel? How's that even possible? Well, God had put some safeguards in place to see to it that this wouldn't happen. And it's here, looking at these safeguards that He put in place in the book of Deuteronomy, and we can find the answer to our question. The only way that this could happen is first if the priest allowed it to happen. Turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy is Moses addressing this generation before they go in to inhabit the promised land. Moses knows he's not going in. He's no longer going to be their leader, and so he's preparing them, and he's passing the mantle of leadership on to Joshua. And so here he is telling of the different responsibilities for them as they are living in this new land if it's going to remain their possession. Deuteronomy 31, verses 9 through 13. So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priest. The sons of Levi, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the works of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and know and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. Every 7 years, as the nation observed the Feast of Tabernacles, all of the Israelites were together, and the priests were to take the law of God and read it before all of the people. And in hearing the law, notice that the listeners would learn first to fear the Lord. Because they would learn of His righteous statutes, and they would learn of the things that He did. They would learn to fear the Lord, and secondly, they would learn to keep His commandments. They would learn to observe what the Lord had told them. And verse 13 indicates that the succeeding generations, those who didn't experience it themselves, they would hear it and they would learn to fear and to obey. Notice by the time an Israelite child was 7, they should have heard the law of God at least one time. Now, how is it that a generation could arise that didn't know the Lord, didn't know His works, didn't fear the Lord? Well, it could happen if the priests didn't do their job. But you know, it's more than just the priests who are addressed in this passage, isn't it? The elders were addressed as well. This command was given not just to the priests, but it was also given to all the elders of Israel. In the Old Testament, the elders were men who served as rulers among the people. We read of them first as they are in captivity in Egypt. So it's apparent that these elders were the heads of families, and it was a carryover as you make as you progress from the patriarchal age to the Mosaical age. The families had their leaders, they had their elders. Well, when you come into the law of Moses, the elders had some specific responsibilities. They served as judges in the cities where they lived. If you had a dispute, you would take it to the elders. And the elders would help with that matter. They served as military leaders whenever the nation had to go into battle. And most importantly, they served as the spiritual leaders of their communities and of their families. And so here we see that they had a responsibility. Yes, it was the responsibility of the priest on this occasion to read the law to all the people. It was the responsibility of the elders to make sure everyone was there to hear it. And not just that, to make sure the people under their charge and their responsibility were there to hear it, but it was their responsibility to make sure that law was taught at other times as well. So if the elders failed to assemble the people, if the elders failed in their responsibility, then yes, there could be a generation that would arise that would not know the Lord. But you know, more than that, not only did the priest and the elders have a responsibility by God, but the parents had a responsibility as well. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says, "Only take heed to yourself, and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life." I want to pause right there. That's why it's important for us to come together on the first day of every week and remember the Lord's death and suffering, lest we forget. Be diligent. Keep yourself diligently that you do not forget. And notice the last sentence in verse 9, "and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, 'Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children.'" Great stress is placed upon the parents here under the law of Moses with the responsibility for their children's spiritual education. And if they fail to do this and fail to do it diligently, then yes, there would be a generation that would come up that wouldn't know about God and wouldn't know about the things which they themselves witnessed because they allowed themselves to forget. And look here in verse 10, that emphasis was placed upon telling the story of the delivering of the law on Mount Sinai. That's what Mount Horeb is. That's Mount Sinai. The amazing events that happened there in Exodus chapter 19, that's something that was to be told and retold to the children and to the grandchildren. And every time that story was told, they would experience it again. And they would be reminded, and the children would learn to fear the Lord. You look in chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorpost of your house and on your gates." God's law was to be spoken of inside the home and outside of the home. It was to start in the morning when they woke up, and it was to go through till the end of the day. Now, does that mean that they weren't allowed to talk to their children about anything other than God and His law? And we know that that is not true. I look at this passage the same way I look at the admonition from Thessalonians chapter 5, "Pray without ceasing." Does that mean I always have to be saying a prayer? No, but it means that I always have to be in the practice of praying, and I should never be very far from that place of prayer. I should be able to access it very quickly. And the same thing is true here. God's law was to be talked about in the home and outside of the home. The fathers, the mothers, as they were bringing up their children, they were to talk about that. Now notice how this follows verse 5. If the parents didn't love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and strength, they wouldn't be very diligent about teaching their children, would they? No, but if they did love the Lord, then they needed to show that, among other ways, in being diligent about raising their children. If they didn't, if the parents didn't raise their children to know the Lord, yeah, there'd be a generation that would come that wouldn't know the Lord and wouldn't know the great works that He had done. And this would happen only if the nation as a whole would allow it to happen. I don't have a passage for us to turn to look at, but Israel was a spiritual nation. And their future and their relationship before God was dependent upon spiritual matters. And so any citizen of that nation would have been interested in the success and the continuance of that nation. If the priest failed, and if the elders failed, and if the parents failed, the citizens themselves would have stood up and said, "This has to be done. Our children have to be taught so that this nation can continue." So if the nation as a whole became complacent, yes, it'd be possible for a generation to come up who doesn't know the Lord. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." These things that we read about, like from Judges chapter 2, that happened to God's people aforetime, are written for us. Because there are some lessons here that we need to learn. There are some dangerous things that we need to avoid. And one thing that we learn from Judges chapter 2 is that apostasy among God's people, not only can it happen, but apostasy among God's people is always just one generation away. That's how close it is. It's always one generation away. How could that happen so quickly? It did. And it can again. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 still says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." If God's people, if the next generation is not taught, then apostasy will occur. So the next generation's faithfulness is always dependent to a large extent upon our faithfulness today. So as Jason brought up, talking about a generation that does not know the Lord and the fact that cannot happen to us, we can't allow that to happen to us, that we have to follow the Lord. Also, we have to make sure that what we leave behind, those that we leave behind, are prepared to follow the Lord as well and are prepared to allow the next generation and encourage the next generation to follow the Lord. It happened. It happened in Israel. Can it happen today? Yeah, it can happen today. The same thing can happen today. How? Well, if the priest allow it to happen, it can happen today. Now, by priest, you need to understand, if you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. There is no clergy-laity distinction in the Lord's church today. There was a priesthood in Israel. You had to belong to a specific tribe in order to serve as a priest and in order to take that position in the tabernacle and do those things in the tabernacle and then later on in the temple. It was only for the priest to do. But when we come to the new and better covenant, the Bible lets us know that all of us as Christians, we are all priests. We are all serving God and serving one another under our common high priest, Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." As priests, one of our responsibilities, we see in verse 9, is to proclaim the praises of Him who saved us. And we do that in our song, in our singing, but we also do it in teaching, in the opportunities that we have to teach one another. And while the focus of this teaching often is on those who are outside of the body of Christ, that the lost need to hear the gospel so they know what they have to do in order to be saved, as Mike prayed for us, offered up that prayer at the beginning of our services, so also this proclaiming and this teaching needs to be done for the benefit of God's people, and especially for that next generation that is coming up. The children and the grandchildren need to be taught Remember, one of the responsibilities of the priest was not just to officiate at the tabernacle, but it was also to read and teach the law. And all of us as priests, we need to be able to teach the law, to teach God's law to others. There are many Christians who are involved in teaching the classes down the hallway who are teaching little ones who are not their own children. They are involved, they are investing themselves in the next generation. And that kind of work needs to be encouraged. It needs to be encouraged by all of us. Not all of us are cut out to be a teacher in a children's Bible class. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be involved in encouraging that work and helping that work to be done. Remember, back when Paige was very little, before Isaac was born, she calls that the good old days. But back when she was little bitty, we were working with another congregation, and there weren't hardly any children there at all. And Paige was about two, and one of the older sisters in Christ there decided that she would get a class started for Paige. And Christy and I were very thankful for that, very encouraging of that. But I'll never forget, there was an older brother in Christ in the business meeting who said, "I don't see the need for that. You're taking an adult out of a good Bible class to go down there and babysit a child." But you know what? That individual who said that, none of his kids or grandkids were faithful. You surprised? As I said, they didn't have any children there. There was about an entire generation missing from that congregation. You could trace it back to that attitude. That what's happening down there is not important. Let me tell you, it's vitally important. And we need to be encouraging it. Even if we're not teaching the classes, maybe we never will. But let's never downgrade it. Let's never dismiss it. Let's always be encouraging of that work. Yeah, it can happen if the priests don't do their job. You know what else? It can happen today if the elders don't do their job. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. The elders are given the responsibility by God to feed the flock and to watch out for the souls that are placed under their oversight. Paul makes that clear here as he's addressing the elders of the church in Ephesus. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 32. Paul says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood." The elders here have a responsibility by the Holy Spirit to first take heed to themselves and make sure that they're doing what is right and they're standing right before the Lord, and then to take heed to all the flock, to oversee the flock and to shepherd that flock, to feed that flock. "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who..." All those who are sanctified. The elders are to feed the flock. What are they to feed the flock with? The word of God's grace, which builds us up. The elders need to be very aware, very concerned with, and very much involved with what's happening with the teaching of our young people. Because if the elders neglect the preaching and the teaching of God's word, they don't insist that God's Word be taught in its truth, in its entirety, and in a manner that can easily be understood and applied, then the flock is not being fed. They're not being shepherded as they should. And watching out for the souls that are placed under their care, that would include even the little souls that have been placed in their sphere of authority. By their parents identifying here, or their grandparents identifying here as members. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And we urge you, brethren, recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. The elders can give more of their time and more of their attention to building up the church and overseeing the church if we're not causing fires for them to have to put out. And we're not causing problems for them to have to deal with. They can give more of their time and attention to our benefit. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. If the elders neglect the preaching and the teaching of the Word, or they neglect the work that is being done in the Bible classes, a generation can arise who does not know the Lord. They may know the church, and they may know all the books of the Bible, but they won't know the Lord. We need our children to know the Lord. So we need to stand by our elders as they are giving time and attention to the teaching and preaching of God's Word, especially to that which is being done for our young people. And you know where I'm headed. Parents, it can happen. It can happen. Just as the parents in Israel were responsible for teaching their children, so are parents in the Lord's church today. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Ephesians chapter 6 and at verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training an admonition of the Lord. Parents, fathers are specified here, but parents have that responsibility of raising their children in the nurture admonition of the Lord, training and admonition of the Lord. Remember, the text here says that parents are to bring up their children. Not send their children, like maybe some of our neighbors do. Send their children off the church while they do whatever they want to on Sunday. That's not what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures say, bring your children up. Bring them with you as you are growing, as you are developing spiritually as an adult. So you bring your children along on that journey as well. You let them see you doing your Bible reading. You let them see and know that you are offering prayers, that you're getting your Bible class ready. Bring them along on that journey. Remember what the fathers in Israel were told? First, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Then you teach your children. So it starts with you. But you need to bring up your children. Are you spending enough time doing that? Are you putting enough effort into doing that to make sure that the next generation is not one who does not know the Lord? I had these statistics brought to my attention about a month ago, and I was really, really impressed with them, and I wanted to share them with you today. The average child, and I know yours is above average, but the average child that goes to public school spends 13 years in school, kindergarten through 12th grade. During the average school year, there's 1,225 hours that they spend in school. You add that up over 13 years, you've got 15,925 hours that they have spent devoted to secular education. By the time that they leave high school, they've spent 15,925 hours involved in secular education. You bring your child to worship services and Bible class faithfully until they are 18 years old. It starts at birth, bring them up through 18 years old, 4 hours a week. We've got our 9:30 Bible class on Sunday morning, 10:20 worship, 3 o'clock worship hour, and then Wednesday, 7 o'clock. That's not including the gospel meetings and VBS and youth lectures and other things and other opportunities the elders provide for us in learning ourselves and seeing that our children are learning as well. 4 hours a week. 4 hours a week for 52 weeks a year for 18 years is 3,744 hours. You see, at the time in their life when you send your child away to college, trade school, military, the workplace, marriage, whatever it is that we're going to send our children off to do, while they have gotten a full secular education, they've gotten about the equivalent of a second grade education in spiritual matters. Now, which one of us would send our children off to college if they'd only gotten a second grade education in school and expect them to succeed? Send them off to trade school, send them off anywhere with just a second grade education and expect them to succeed. Why is it that so many young people are falling away from the Lord? Why is it that it's not uncommon for the children who were raised in Christian homes to go off to college, to start adulthood, and we learn that they just drift away from the Lord? Did we set them up for success? Are you spending the extra time in your home with your children, going over their Bible class with them? Are you making sure they're getting their daily Bible reading done? A lot of the Bible classes down the hallway, the teachers have daily Bible readings for those students. Are you reading the Bible with your children every day? Are you spending time with them in the Scripture? Are you answering their questions? Or are you just depending on the 4 hours a week? Well, we slept in, so it's just 3 hours this week. Well, we're busy with other activities, so it's just 2 hours this week. Well, you know, we've got some stuff we've got to do. That 4 hours turns into 1 hour pretty quickly, doesn't it? All too commonly here it does. Are we setting our children up for success? Or are we going to come to the elders in a few years wringing our hands because our children have grown up and left the Lord? You know what? By then it's too late. There's nothing the elders can do for you. Nothing I can do for you then. But you can do it now. You can do it now. Yeah. We can raise up that generation that doesn't know the Lord. We can do it without even realizing it. And of course, if we continue on with the outline we had with the Old Testament, it can happen if the church allows it to happen. The future of the church depends on the spiritual training of the young people, so the church as a whole has a great interest in this important work. As I said before, we need to be encouraging the elders, we need to be encouraging the teachers, and we need to be encouraging the parents that they would make those sacrifices that are necessary, that they would do the things that are necessary to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to insist this great work is done, and we need to help this work to get done. I want to read one more passage of Scripture to you, and then the lesson will be yours for your consideration. In Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul is preaching in Antioch, and he talks about David and how David had made some promises, and some promises had been made to David. And it's obvious that it wasn't for David himself, because he died. He died, and these things weren't given to him. But notice what is said about David's life. Acts chapter 13 and verse 36, it says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption." What a way to summarize the life of a great man of faith. That he served his generation. Mom and Dad, are you serving your generation? Are we serving our generation? When it's time for us to leave this world, will we leave the generation following us better off? Will they be prepared to take the torch and to run their leg of the race? Are we serving our generation? Or are we going to leave behind a generation who doesn't know the Lord and quite frankly could care less? It all depends on us. May God be merciful to us where we have been anywhere less than diligent in doing this. And may we have the resolve and the conviction that not only are we going to serve the Lord, but we're going to bring our loved ones along with us. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, you can't serve your generation without first serving the Lord. Why not become a Christian? Confess your faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized to have those sins washed away. If you've done that but become unfaithful, if you're discouraged and need our prayers and our encouragement, we stand ready to help you as well. Whatever your need is, join us as we follow the Lord. Come as we stand and sing this song.